Movie, music, news, television promos, trailers, and videos used by Oscar Mike Radio are protected by the Fair Use Act. Section 107 of the Copyright Act. 1. The purpose and character of the use, including whether such use is of commercial nature or is for non-profit educational purposes. 2. The nature of the copyrighted work. 3. The amount and substantiality of the portion used in relation to the copyrighted work as a whole. 4. The effect of the use upon the potential market for or value of the copyrighted work.
Hello and welcome to Oscar Mike Radio as we count down to number 500. Oscar Mike Radio's co-producer, Assist One Productions. What's your podcast doing? I want to thank my sponsors, Joyce Asak of Asak Real Estate, Echo 6 Ranch Creations, and my supporters, Kason Shaving Company, Exceptional Parent Magazine, and Fight Camp, Be Your Strongest Combination. I have a special one here. This never gets old. I have my fourth veteran from the British military for Queen and Country, or now King and Country. I want to welcome Ben Reed, who is a veteran, served in the British military, and now has his own platform business called redeployable.io to Oscar Mike Radio. Ben, welcome. Thank you for joining me.
Oh, nice to meet you, Travis, and thanks for having me.
So I get this across the wire that, hey, there's this veteran who's created this transition platform that's really done this in a different way, and he has, you know, all these tools for veterans, UK and US based, and you got to talk to him. And I started digging into it. I created an account. I'm like, I'm in. But I'm really interested because I started looking at what you've done, what you've accomplished, and how you do it. And you have a very interesting story. And I got to ask about the UK military side of it. You worked on aircraft in the UK military?
Yeah. I was an aircraft, British Army aircraft technician was my title when I joined it. So, yeah, it was not really a well thought out career, I'll be honest with you, but I did it for 12 years. Yeah.
How did that work?
My brother and my older brother and my older sister were already in the British Army. So I was going to, none of us went to university. I'd gone to like the British equivalent of college. So it's something called sixth form, which is like your A levels and then you go to university. I did that for 5 months and I absolutely hated it. And I wanted to follow my brother and sister into the army. So I went to an army careers office. That's what we have in the UK, like little careers offices in the north of England. And I did a test and scored really highly. So the first one was the police and I didn't fancy being in the Royal Military Police. And then the next one was an avionics technician. I was like, that sounds all right. I'll go and become an avionics technician. I didn't actually end up being that, but that's kind of the decision-making process when I was 16 years old. So
now, if you were avionics, aviation in the British Army, were you like with helicopters like it is in the US?
Correct. Majority rotary, yeah. I did a bit of fixed wing. We had a few fixed wing platforms, but majority of my time was rotary helicopters.
Which platform did you work on?
You train on Scout and Lynx, and then I went to a Lynx Mark 7 unit. And then we were something called Lynx Mark 9 Alpha, and then I did some Gazelle, I did some Islander, Defender, which are the fixed wing. So I stayed away from Apache because in the UK, if you're Apache, you kind of get posted to this kind of certain area and you don't get out of it. That's where you stay, and I didn't want to go there, so I did everything I could to stay away from Apache, which I did.
Lynx is a pretty cool helicopter. It's a slicker, you know, transport, but it also has attack variants, right?
Yeah, and none that I'd worked on other than some guns on the side for the crew, but it's good. I enjoyed all that time. It's fun.
What prompted you to leave the British military then? Was it just your contract was up and it was time to move on, or did you have some other purpose?
So I left at 11 years and you get your half pension at 12, but you kind of like, you've got a choice in the British Army, in my trade, where you go and take a 18, 24 month course and become an artificer. And then you're kind of time bound for another, you get a degree out of that, you're time bound for another minimum 5-6 years, or you leave at that 12 year point. And I had a ton of friends doing some pretty cool things out on Civvy Street. So I decided I was gonna make the jump. I wanted to earn a bit more money. I'll be frank. Like I felt like I wasn't earning enough money at that point in my life. So I
Well, I mean, we
pursued
all
some
get out
things.
for different reasons, right? But looking at your LinkedIn, and I did look at your LinkedIn, it looks like you were able to get out and get into, the business world and sales, and you were pretty successful at it.
Yeah, like on the grand scheme of things, I think I've done all right. I'm from like a working class Northern England background, right? So I watched my dad graft and work hard all of his life. So I've got a little bit of that in me. I believe in a lot of hard work, and I'm quite competitive. So like it was when I got out, I just thought, people have already got a head start on me. I'm just going to try and outwork everybody, and that's fundamentally what I've been trying to do for the last 7, 8 years, is just work really hard, learn quickly. So it's been like a journey. It wasn't My first job wasn't the job I really wanted to do long term, and then I had more experiences. Like there was not one point in my life when I left the military where I was like, I'm going to start my own business. That never even came into my mind, not once.
Before we do that, we're going to take a little bit of a detour. You said a couple of times you're from Northern England. I'm curious, how close or far away from you are you to Sunderland?
Probably like 2.5 hour drive, I would say.
Okay.
I mean, everything's pretty close in the UK, right? Like it's the size of a state. So like, but yeah, not that far, really. 2.5.
So the last British veteran I talked to, she lives right in that area, and I watched a Sunderland documentary on Netflix and
Yeah.
fell in love with the whole like town and scene and the fact that
Yeah.
the football club really is a town. So you said Northern England, I wanted to kind of go down that road a little bit. I plan to
Yeah.
come over there and see it someday. So okay, all right, so no
You'll
problem.
find that all over the
Yeah.
UK. Like football or soccer, for some of your listeners, is it's like a religion. Where I'm from, a place called Burnley, which they're a Premiership team alongside Sunderland, not doing as well as Sunderland, but like everything in the town revolves around the football club. So Saturdays is like
It's like
religious.
church, right? I mean,
Yeah, yeah,
you
yeah.
all really like it's not just a game, it's a way of life. I've
Yeah,
always found that
everyone
very
like
interesting
loves
about
it.
my cousins across the pond.
Yeah.
So you're going through life and you go to a couple different positions and you see that, and then it seems like to the outsider that all of a sudden you woke up one day, and said, "Hey, Ben, I'm gonna start redeployable to IO." And I know it's not like that, but it seems like that. Where did this idea come from to start this platform for veterans transitioning?
Everything's an iteration. Like that's a piece of advice I try and give to veterans. Like it's not, you don't know. I didn't know anything when I left. I knew nothing. I knew nothing about business, sales, how to dress in the workplace. Like all the silly things that you just like companies expect you to know. So I went through these different experiences when I went out. I couldn't get a job in software sales, which is what I wanted to do. My brother is an ex-Royal Artillery. He was in software sales as the background. So like I saw what he was doing. It looked cool, fit my personality. He was earning some really good money. So I wanted to do that, but I couldn't. I had an opportunity to go and do this first thing through a friend. Did that, then got into software sales. And then something fortuitous happened in that business where they acquired a startup, and I worked with the startup founder. And then I started to understand startups a little bit more. Then I went to a startup as the head of sales about 4 years after being out of the military. And like then I experienced working with the founders more like directly and being on a leadership team. So it's like it's all like a journey. It's not like a big bang kind of thing, right? But through all of that, I'd landed in this amazing career because of my brother fundamentally, and friends who were doing it, who told me about it. I had that kind of this. People who knew who I was and my personality, and they knew what this job was all like. So I had my like personal career coach, and like I'm super fortunate, right? Like that I had that,
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I'm thankful. But like a lot of people don't have that. So I was trying to help friends transition into software sales, and I've helped quite a few of my friends who are now doing awesome, veterans who are doing awesome in different careers like selling software. So I was doing that, and I was like, well, why? Why are they having to be lucky that I know about it and I know them? Like, why does everybody not get a look into these kinds of opportunities? And I saw a lot of people who were underemployed. You know, they weren't unemployed. My group friends weren't unemployed. They were underemployed. So, like, they had jobs, but they weren't enjoying them. Probably weren't paid accordingly. It's just kind of existing in a role. So, like, I just saw it, and I was like, I was in a fortunate position financially at that point. So I decided I was just going to go and kind of figure out that. I give myself 12 months to figure out, well, why is the system like it is?
So as you go through this 12-month period, what did you find out about the system and that led to redeployable being created?
Well, I started redeployable, but I didn't know exactly what I want it to be.
Yeah.
So I give myself that 12-month grace to say, like, let's go and figure it out. Like, I'm gonna go and dive into it. And I think it's super complex. I think one of the challenges is everybody just assumes that we're all the same. Like, you're a veteran, I'm a veteran, therefore it's even in just in my family and my sister, my brother, and myself, like, completely different ranks, different trades. Like, my brother didn't even have a trade, so like, we're just come different skills, different experiences, but we're all assumed to be the same people from people who don't know, right? And
Right.
I think that's one of the biggest challenges is, you might as well be looking at a software engineer and a salesperson. Like, they've got the same core ethos around the way in which they operate, generally, not everybody, but generally. But they've got a completely different job. So to put them through the same process to transition out of the military, to me, is the craziest thing in the world. So I just discovered that, the system is set up for volume, and it's not really personal to people when you're
No,
transitioning,
no.
really,
No,
is one of
because
the biggest
even in the
things.
U.S., the separation process from the military is a cookie cutter process. You're all put in the room, you're all given a checklist, you're all told to get certified copies of your DD-214. See ya. Thank you for service. Now it's time to leave. So interesting. So at its core, then, what is the redeployable.io platform?
I mean, it solves that problem, right? It's like, the first big question is, like, what do I do next? I try and explain this to people who don't understand. It's like, the only real, like, comparison is, like, when you're leaving school, like, what do I do when I grow up? It's like, when you're leaving the military, like, what do I do when I grow up? Like, I don't understand anything out there, really. So we help them solve that problem. Like, we first and foremost look at their own personal experiences and what they want in the future and what they've done in their career, and we identify a ton of skills that they've developed. And then, rather than just say, hey, we think you'd be really good at this job, we build simulations, like, let you try jobs out. But off all the back of that, we're then solving a problem for the employer. And the problem for the employers is, resumes do not tell the full story of what someone in the military or someone who's been in the military is capable of. So we use a lot of that data that we collect through that experience and say to veterans, hey, like, you should explore this company, and you should share your skills and share how you perform within the simulation. So it makes it easier for the employers to make decisions and bring people into the interview process. So it's two-sided marketplace, but there's a ton of intelligence. We use a lot of AI to kind of build a picture of an individual and fundamentally sell them and their capabilities to big employers.
So when a veteran goes to your platform, and first of all, one thing I noticed because I went to the platform and signed up is it's not just UK centric. Like there was once I answered the question and affirmed that I was a US veteran, the questions changed, to everything to did you serve in the Marine Corps? What was your rank? So on and so forth. So that led me to ask, how many countries does your platform support? Is it just the UK and the US, or is it more countries than that?
Yeah, I'm smiling because it's just the UK and US. It's a pain just to do two. So, like, and the US military is an absolute minefield of units. We're learning all the time. So there's fundamentally two platforms or two
Sure.
experiences, and one is that of a US veteran and one is that of a UK veteran. And all the way from the units and the things that we identify and the skills that we identify is related to each country, but even just the language, right? You
Right, it'd be different.
know you in color, and personalization with a Z, like, that's another pen there. But yeah, right now, big focus UK US. We started in the UK, and this year is all about our relationships in the US.
So tell me, what's the experience a veteran logs onto the platform? And I'll have the link to the platform in the Ask Mike Radio Show post, ladies and gentlemen. And I went through this. It is you log on, get started, but what's the veteran's experience when they start logging on the platform? What should they expect, and what's the experience like?
Yeah, I mean, even if they don't get a job directly through us, i.e., they connect with an employer on our platform and get a job, we've built the whole experience to just add value to their transition. So our goal was we didn't connect any employers up to our platform until August of last year because we just wanted to build for the veteran. Like, we don't charge the veteran a penny for using our service, and we never will. But the idea is when they first get in, we want a story of their career and we care about that. But fundamentally, we want to identify what skills you've got and what skills you've developed. And we're not just telling you, we like it's like a collaborative process. So you tell us what you've done, and you can it can be as simple as an MOS. And we'll start to identify big buckets of skills, operational skills, leadership skills, technical skills. We can start to surface the equipment you might have worked on in the military. And we kind of work together to build a framework of what skills you have. And that's kind of the starting point then to say, well, what careers are out there that align with some of those skills? Like, it doesn't need to be fully, like, that's all part of the journey. And we'll allow you to start discovering what careers are out there, both from, what you would do in those careers, why you potentially would be a good fit, like super personalized in the way that we recommend, what you could earn over time. Like, this is all like a black box, isn't it? And then from there, we allow you to explore different things, so you can move into a career plan where we can work you through everything from how to create your LinkedIn, how to start to network effectively. So we do a ton of that kind of thing, but then we allow you to start experiencing careers through these jobs. We call them job drops, job simulations, where you can start playing around. Like, if someone told you you'd be a really good transport manager, like, it means nothing. But like, if we give you three different tasks that you can play around with and you can see if you like the type of work, that's a more immersive experience, and that allows us to gain more insight into whether you're a good fit or not for that type of work as well. So think of it like an AI career coach, like in the simplest form, something to guide you through every step.
When did redeployable.io launch as a platform, Ben?
I mean, it's so funny because building software is not it launches and then it's where it is right now. So like,
Right.
this is a constant iteration over time. It just gradually gets better and better. Where we are now, I believe we're only 5% of what we really are going after. Like, I wholeheartedly believe that. I think we're doing a tiny bit of what I think is possible. We originally launched in September, just for veterans, in September of 2023. This kind of iteration of the platform, and it was just a PDF. Tell us a bit of information about you, and we'll send you a PDF. And then it just grow. You build and you learn. So this is just ever evolving. It'll never stop. It's kind of that's what you got to become like ease with in my position of like, I know what I can see what I want it to be, but it's going to take time to get to that kind of ultimate goal.
Now, you're not a software developer yourself, are you?
No, definitely not.
Okay,
Definitely not.
so let me ask you this, because you're not I do some stuff in software development in my real job.
Yeah.
And one of the challenges I find is having a person like yourself communicate to the developers, this is my vision, this is what I want to do. And then they got to look at the technology stack, the code base, the framework, and then figure out how to deliver that to you for the people you want to serve in a cost-effective, time-consistent way. And how do you communicate with your developer teams to get them to all align to your goal?
Yeah, I mean, there's some amazing people in our team.
Yeah.
So the one thing was, I brought in a co-founder in June-ish 2023 because I recognize the more I learn about myself after the military, the more I understand where my strengths lie and where I'm not weak, but maybe where I don't want to do certain things. So I brought a co-founder in to support, and she complements me perfectly. But she did a lot of the product for a while, and she was kind of, we were setting a vision of where we wanted to go and what we wanted to achieve, and then she would be the person that conduit between what we wanted to achieve and the software development team. We recently brought in a VP of product who's really focused on user experience, who speaks to a lot of veterans using the platform, getting feedback, a lot of the employers we work with. And he's the conduit between Vision, Brittany, my co-founder, and I, and the engineering team. And he looks after the engineering team. So it's, again, like it's not just what we want, it's also what our users want. And we've got a product advisory council who are lots of different types of veterans. We've got all sorts of different groups that give us feedback in terms of what we're building.
I think it's a very valuable lesson you just articulated for us, because a lot of veterans, including myself, sometimes think, I've got to do it all. And not only do I have to do it all, I've got to be the best at whatever it is that I'm doing, without understanding that you can build a team around you, support you, and still get you to the goal. Do you find that as a challenge for some of us veterans you work with?
Yeah, I don't know. Do you know what? I just think you got to remove your ego from it.
Yes.
I don't have any ego. Like, I want to achieve what we're going after. Like I said at the beginning, I'm super competitive, and I think you've got to remove your ego out of these situations and say, like, what am I good at? Where are my strengths? What do I want to? What have I got? Time. I want to enjoy what I do. That's one of my biggest goals. Like, I don't wake up in the morning on a Monday and think, oh, I've got to go to work. Like, that is, to me, it is like an epic place to be. I think part of that is, do you enjoy what you want to do? And there are a lot of things that I'm not as good at and I don't enjoy doing, but there are amazing people out there that are really good at that and love doing it. And like, I think you just gotta just be open with yourself about what you want to do and what you don't want to do. And not everyone's fortunate enough to go and find a co-founder and bring a co-founder in, but like, it should be a guiding light to determine where you go in your career, in my opinion. But you're right, like, I don't. For some reason, people feel like they need to know everything. I don't know everything. I definitely don't know everything. And I'm happy with that as well. I'm okay with that.
All right. You're going into almost year three of the platform being live, going from a PDF to a fully interact, fully functional, interactive platform. Can you share a story of working with, in this case specifically, a UK veteran? Like, tell me how that went, and what was it like for you to see that veteran use your platform and then get where they want to go, if you can share that with us.
It's actually, I've got the dates wrong. It's only 18 months since the platform's been live. So like, did I say 23? I meant 24. So it's not even 18 months. September 24. We're in 2026, aren't we? But blimey, do you know what? I take it even a step back from that,
Okay.
because to figure out what we were going to build, we needed to have a certain amount of experiences prior to even launching the tech. And what we did is we set ourselves a challenge with some big companies. Like, could we get groups of veterans hired without hiring managers ever seeing a resume? That was the kind of task we set ourselves. So we did it with Schneider Electric, and we did it with a company called Honeywell as well, like big
Honeywell,
global.
the
Yeah,
big, like,
Honeywell. Honeywell. But yeah, they were the second client we worked with. And we did some like AI like skill matching, like really rudimentary AI skill matching. And then we built these like simulations, but in person, try out the job type assessments with hiring managers there. So we brought a ton of veterans in, we had hiring managers, and these hiring managers got to watch how these people operated. And a lot of these hiring managers never even met a veteran, never hired a veteran. So they were like blown away by the capabilities of these people. And loads of people got hired out of the back of that, and they're all still. There's not one person through those two are not in a job anymore, which again is like testament to like what we're trying to achieve is that longer term retention. We
Right.
don't want people churning out jobs. So I think, like, to me, that experience, we learn about what we needed to do from a tech perspective in those like physical in person experiences, and I got to be there for all of that, and it was eye-opening. It was a really cool experience just to see, obviously, the veterans get jobs, but for them to do it in a different way,
You do this thing, and you're so 2024, I'll rebalance, but you've only gotten 5 to 10% of what you want to do. So what's the plan in the next, I don't know, 12 months for redeployable if you're trying to, and it seems like, yes, you're doing the software build thing where you iterate over time. What's the next iteration?
Oh, blimey, we do sprints weekly. If you've been software, we do a weekly
Weekly.
sprint. Yeah, we
Yes.
weekly sprint. Yeah, we churn out a lot. The team's super quick. So from a product perspective, like we know we're starting to scale to some really big global clients. So that's everything changes, right? You need to deal in the startup world. There are different stages, and like you get to a critical mass, and then you've got to figure out, well, what's going to break when we get to this stage and this stage. So there's always an iteration, but for us this year, it's all about the US. Like, I'm spending a lot of time in the US this year. We've got some awesome partnerships in the US, signing some really big clients in the US. So it's just about momentum for us. Momentum, capital. It's not cheap to build technology and go to the US. So it's just keep that momentum going, like pace. We need to keep going at pace is like the plan this year.
You come to the US and start working with these US companies and US veterans. Are there any significant differences besides the obvious, to your earlier point, the military is different. Sure, we know that, but anything else, culturally that you're having to adjust to, or the way the US versus UK works that you can share?
I think culturally, for us, it's an easier culture to discuss our community in the US than it is in the UK. It's just baked into your community, your like the US. Like veteran is, you just probably more well regarded, I would say, in the US. We just don't have this culture of thank you for your service. Like people don't say that in the UK, right? It's not a thing in the UK. So
Even
it's
a,
just.
what about the Poppy and Remembrance Day, though?
Yeah, but that again, like that's a month leading up to it. So like, yeah, 100%. The country turns on around November. A lot of people get poppies, and you have remembrance. But I think generally the discussion around veterans is different in the UK versus the US. It's just more, I feel like there's more support for veterans in the US than there is in the UK, which obviously makes me sad because I think there's a lot of like amazing capability and skills coming out of the military, but it's starting to change slowly in the UK. Like more companies are starting to switch on to the fact that these people are not, you don't just hire them for charity. You hire them because actually they'll make a difference in the business and they might stay longer and they'll get to productivity quicker. So, but that's generally my take is everyone's super supportive in the US and people care massively about veterans in the US.
Now, one thing I want to reiterate, because I'm going through your platform and signing up, and I'm like, okay, when do I need my credit card for this? When do I need to start? This has got to be some kind of subscription thing for the veteran. I didn't find any. So
No.
this is in fact no cost to the veteran.
No, well, it is cost because you've got to spend some time.
Well, I mean, no financial cost, excuse me.
Yeah, no financial cost, but we expect a little bit of effort. Like we don't just give people anything for free. Like you've got to put a little bit of work in. But yeah, like you don't join the military to become wealthy. You're not wealthy when you're leaving. Like, so why would, at the end of the day, we identify significant challenges in the workforce, like we in certain industries, and we identify skills and we fundamentally charge employers for the service, and that's where we make our money. We're not a non-profit, we're a for-profit. We've been invested in, we've got US investors, we've got UK investors. But like why would we ever charge the veteran? I will never, you've got this locked in. I will never charge the veteran for using our service.
Well, when I went through the redeployable platform myself, I'm like, okay, this is taking some time. What was really interesting was as I went through it, I'm like, wow, okay, for the first time in a very long time, there's some actual structure around what I did in the Marine Corps,
Yeah.
which it's one thing to go into a job office or a veteran's job office and have somebody tell you, well, you've got organizational skills or leadership skills. But it's another matter entirely to take what I did and break down the characteristics and attributes to say this is what you got from your military service. And so you're right. I think I would tell veterans, like, look, don't think you're gonna get through this in like 2 or 5 minutes. Take some time and do the homework. So I definitely appreciate that aspect of the platform.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't want to get into a stable career, like if you want to get into something where you are underemployed, don't put any effort in, right? Like you've got to be a little bit of effort here. I'll always say that you've got these things don't come easy, and you've got to put a little bit of work in. But like hopefully with people who put a little bit of work into our platform and start to understand themselves more and their skills and what's out there, it'll pay off, you know. And we've got a little once somebody gets through the whole career plan in our platform, which is an epic, by the way, like is to get right to the end, like everything. They get a certificate that they put on LinkedIn, which is like a redeployable cert to say they're career ready. And like I love it when I see people who've done that and they get it on LinkedIn. Like they've really put the work in, you know, they've really put the work in. So it, yeah, you can get a little bit of value from you get value from little bits of it, but it does require a bit of effort.
No problem at all. No problem at all. So many veterans create, companies, music, art, work in nonprofits and do business. I always ask them, like, now that you've been in this game for a little while, what does your company and the people that support you mean to you personally, Ben?
Sometimes a little bit too much.
Yeah.
I need to sometimes t try. My big thing this year is trying to not take a step back because I'll never be able to take a step back, but like try and find time for other things in my life that'll make me perform better in the work environment, in the business environment. So I care a lot about it. Like I again, but I'm just competitive. Just wanna. I don't even know what I want to win. I just want to win, and I think winning in this eyes is like getting our technology in front of as many veterans, hundreds of thousands of veterans every year, like changing the way in which they're understood. Like I don't know what that ultimate win is, but like that competitiveness drives me to want to do 18 hours, 19 hours a day, like wake up in the morning and think about it, go to bed and think about it. So it means a lot. I think the mission, like what I'm doing, I get out of bed and it lights a fire up you know, it's like a good thing to go after. I enjoy that. I enjoy that as well. But for me, personally, I'm open to being like completely transparent with people. Sometimes you need to do, do other things as well to try and like give you a bit of thinking time and get you
Yeah.
out of the fire. So.
Now, is it the fact you like to win, or is it the chase that really, fires Ben's engine up? You
I don't know. I think it's just like challenge.
like the
I think it's
challenge.
just challenge in general.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm just getting better as an individual as well, right? Like I'm learning and I need to be stimulated mentally. That's how I feel about myself. I'm quite my wife would tell you that like I'm always on. So I just need stimulation and like I need to be busy and doing things and learning. So this kind of like deals with that as well, right? So yeah.
Well, speaking of your wife, let's take this a little closer. What do your siblings think about their brother doing all this stuff? They went through the military and with their story and their journey and transitioned one way or the other. And here you've done all this. What do they think of their brother when they talk to you?
I think they think I'm a little bit mental. I'd
They
say
wouldn't be
that.
your siblings
But
otherwise.
yeah. They think I'm crazy. No, they're supportive. I've got a really good relationship with both of them. They're a great older brother and sister. I speak to them all the time. They're doing amazing things since they've been out as well. My sister's a director in a large enterprise, global enterprise. My brother's a senior account executive, enterprise account executive in a software company out of Atlanta. So like they're doing good stuff as well, you know. So they've always been supportive. All my family, I'm very lucky. I've got a really supportive family.
Very nice, very nice. How can people connect with Redeployable as a company or the platform? And tell us about that, please.
Yeah, so you called it out earlier on, redeployable.io. Connect with me. We're a team as well, like a lot of veterans in our team as well. So like we're also there are also people behind this, and we always say this, you know, So you can connect with us on LinkedIn, connect with my team on LinkedIn. Got a ton of supporters in the UK and in the US now. You know, so I just think like one of the biggest things we've got in this community is like everyone generally looks after each other, and they're kind of like it's like the biggest private members club on earth, isn't it really? Like.
Well, it is. I mean, I'm across the pond from you, where we're 5 hours ahead of each other right now, and I understand the veteran experience and trying to find work and find work in a really positive way. And so I'm like, okay, I'm going to support this guy and what he's doing, and if he has other veterans on his team, it all supports each other. So I think it's a really, cool story we're getting ready to tell right now.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree. It's the same. When we get veterans, Indian veterans. We had a Brazilian veteran yesterday. Pakistani veterans. Honestly, like Romanian, French, and like you generally, we our product unfortunately doesn't support that experience. But we'll have a chat. We one of the team will speak with them and try and help them out. Right? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. So I just think it's just got that whether it's the Italian army or US Army, you've got kind of a shared experience of probably having a bit of a shitty time when you joined, like going maybe deploying or doing X, you know what I mean? Being away from home. I just think it's good. It's a good thing in general. I enjoy being part of it. I really do.
Well, I'm going to steer other U.S. veterans to the platform, Ben. I think it's just you're filling a need and a resource, and I can't wait to see what's up for you. You're welcome to come back on and share as the product updates. Just really, really great. Any closing words for me? Anything you want to share with the guests before we close this down?
No, other than thank you very much for the opportunity. Like, I've enjoyed chatting with you. I think it's a great thing that you're doing too. So, yeah, I'll definitely keep you posted. And anyone who's listening, you wanna figure it out. You wanna figure out what's next. Just give us a shout.
Again, folks, there you have it. Every veteran has a different transition experience. Veterans create amazing things, and this platform really spoke to me in the way it quantified my Marine Corps experience. I'll have the link. It's redeployable.io, and also Mike Radio show post. Ben, thank you very much. As we say on Mike Radio Mission in Flight, we'll see you all next time.
Every generation, every sacrifice. Our nation's service members have stood up for our freedom, our families, and our future. Now it's our turn to stand up for them. This year, you can honor their service in a deeply personal way by sponsoring a $17 Veterans Wreath. Each wreath is more than a symbol. It's a heartfelt tribute to the heroes who served and to the families who carry their legacy. Visit wreathsacrossamerica.org to sponsor a wreath today. This isn't just a wreath. It's a personal gift to an American hero.
Thank you for listening and watching Oscar Mike Radio, where our active duty service members and veterans are in action and the mission is in flight. Oscar Mike Radio is an Oversized Load Co-Sinister-1 production. If you are a veteran or know a veteran who needs help, please dial 988 and press 1 for the Veterans Crisis Line.